according to St. Luke. Glory
to you, O Lord.
Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to be seated. All right, friends, are you ready? It's kind of choose your own adventure for the opening story. Do you want to imagine yourselves as fishermen or as a salesperson who works on commission? Fisherman? Salesperson who works on commission? Okay, cool. We'll do fishermen, but the same kind of thing applies. That's a little bit of the point I'm making. If you don't make your sale, you're not going to get paid. If you don't catch any fish, you don't have anything to eat, but you're also not making any money. So imagine a warmer day. It's not Lake Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee. It's another name for it, right? Lake Travis. Bright and sunny. Actually, not sunny. In fact, you got up in the middle of the night. Because for weeks on end, you have been going out to fish, and you have caught nothing or next to nothing. As you get into the boat ever so slowly, it's pretty dark. When you start to make sure everything's there, your stomach grumbles and growls. You remember that you haven't eaten much. You realize just how hungry you are as you get out onto the lake. You've decided you've got to beat everybody else out there. Maybe that's the trick. It hasn't been going well, but if I can get out there first, I can catch something. Something nice, something big, something that'll feed me, and maybe even feed me so I can take a few days off, finally. Because the scorching heat, as it gets later in the day, has been brutal. And you have tried to stay on that boat all day long until you catch something. Into the next night, before taking a brief rest and starting all over. But today's the day. You got up early, you get in your boat, and go out. An hour passes, and you got a fish. A couple more hours, you got a few more. Nothing spectacular, they're all kind of puny. Hour 5 and 6 come, and still you have almost nothing to show for it. In fact, you start wondering if people will even believe you when you tell them how early you got up to get out this morning. you're spent. You've already been wondering if this is even what you're supposed to be doing with your life. And now you decide, oh, probably not. You take the boat in. All of your training and years of practice has yielded very little. You start to wonder if you're even any good at anything. After all, like, this is supposed to be your thing. You're a fisherman. Fisherwoman. This is what you do, and nothing. You start cleaning your equipment. And then a priest comes by, sees that you're not using your boat, and says, hey, there's some people over at Mud Cove. We'll go preach to them. Take me over. You're like, all right, I guess, you know, I'm not good at fishing, so I may as well. And he's like, oh, just put the equipment back in the boat just in case. Right? You have nothing to show for what you do. You are hungry and you are ready for something, but it's certainly not this. And after the priest says a few things, he starts telling you how to do your job. Put the nets out. Cast a line. You go, do you know how long I've been up? Do you know how many days I come out to this sea, this lake? Do you know how tired I am? But I guess you're the master fisherman, so I'll do what you do, priest. But what else do you have to lose? You've already lost everything. So you cast the line, you throw the nets. The rod breaks. The nets are about to break, and luckily there's some folks you know spudding on by. Come give you a hand. In fact, it's so heavy as you keep pulling more and more fish out that you wonder if the boat's going to make it much longer. Let's pause. We'll come back to you in just a minute. This is the disciples, these first disciples in our journey today. They don't seem like the best of fishermen. It's not like they're out here cleaning their catch and getting everything together. I mean, maybe they're all right. Jesus is in their boat and he takes them out anyway. And then they get a catch of a lifetime. More than you could ever even have dreamed up, even in the wildest fisherman's tale. They've got so much fish. It's unending. It's abundant. But what we see here is that Jesus is not looking for perfect people. Heck, these don't even seem like the best fishermen around. They haven't caught anything really all day. But Jesus calls them. Jesus believes in them that they have what it takes to live out God's reign in this earth, to learn to do the things, the miraculous things that he is doing. After all, one day he will tell them, you will do far greater things than I. The grace and love of God and the presence of Christ transform these fishermen. This is all they need to go about the task to which Jesus is calling them. He sees something in them that they cannot even see in themselves. Just look at Peter's response. Get away from me. I am not worthy. I am a sinful man. I'm not good enough. You, O Lord, are holy, and I am ordinary. I'm not even the best of normal, let alone special. Jesus responds to Peter. He does not disagree with Peter's definition of himself as a sinner, and yet he calls him anyway. Jesus sees Peter exactly as he is. Jesus sees into the depths of his heart and mind and actions and intentions and calls him anyway. Invites him to have no fear and to follow. You see, when it comes to choosing and calling disciples, Jesus did not choose the greatest. He did not go to the emperors and the kings. He didn't even seem to pick the best fishermen. He chose losers, and by that I mean the ones who know loss. Not getting enough, who felt like they were not enough. They know loss much better than they know victory. As do you, fishermen. For your stomach keeps on reminding you. And yet Jesus calls you. Not because you are great or the best, but because Jesus believes in you. That you have what it takes to follow him, to participate in the ongoing work that God is doing in the world. If you but trust and follow. You see, because you've just had the catch of your lives, like those disciples. You've got more than you can handle, enough to eat and to make money for months. You are now the best fisherman. You'll get bragging rights for years. But Jesus says, follow me. And they leave everything behind, their boats and the catch of a lifetime. When Jesus shows up, just like we mentioned in the wedding story at Cana, when the divine is present, there's an abundance. There's more than enough. There are more than enough fish in this catch. And yet Jesus invites us to follow him, trusting that where he goes, more abundance will come. That as we follow, we are leaving behind something, yes, but we are continuing in the presence of God where there is enough and more. Because Jesus finds those of us who feel like we are no good, who know loss much better than we know victory, and calls us to follow him anyway. So we walk away from the huge haul of fish. Because Jesus is enough. We walk away from the mother load because Jesus is worth following. It's bold and risky, this journey of faith and discipleship. And yet the disciples then and us today, when we walk away from something, we do so trusting Jesus, who has believed in us that, and enough to call us beloved and to call us to follow. And as the journey with Jesus continues, we will continue to encounter the abundance of God. We will continue to encounter the grace of God given again and again. Though we cry out, I am not worthy, get away, I am a sinner. Because Jesus chooses loss over victory. It's the conundrum of the cross when Jesus takes on sin and even death. And yet in so doing, overcomes death itself. That God, though God is high In the high places, the psalmist says, God's love is for everyone and for the lowly. God does not remain far off, but journeys with us, continues to provide abundant and steadfast grace and love. So while this catches the catch of a lifetime, there's a lifetime of catches left. A lifetime of proclamations of God's love for you. That you are enough. And you are loved. And you will do greater things even than Jesus together. By the power of the Holy Spirit and by the grace of God.